Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host, and I want to say good afternoon or good evening, depending on, or maybe good morning, depending on where you're listening from. I would like all my listeners to welcome Sherry Besh back to the podcast. You all have met her before, and she's come back to share some good stories with us today or tonight on the podcast. So welcome, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me back. This is like, what, my third time?
You're a three-peat.
I'm just
you're the
three-peat.
Yeah. No, this is, you're the first three-peat. So I don't know how other people are going to feel about this, but
I'm honored.
you just keep coming back with topics that I can't deny. So other people need to get creative if they want to repeat. So well, I would pretend like this is a real formal podcast episode, but it's actually not. So let's just dispense with all the official business and get right down to it. So for those of you that are listening, that are new to the listening world of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast, you may not know that Sherry and I know each other pretty well. And again, obviously she's been on the podcast a couple of times now, but Sherry and I met through our local running club. She runs this town, Louisville. I don't even remember how many years ago. We weren't like besties right away. Because we were doing different things in our lifetime, we were on different trajectories right then, but then somehow our paths kept emerging into this one linear like running journey. And so we kind of just fell in lockstep into running together and training. And I don't even know how we got to the point where we're at now in terms of
COVID.
I
think it was because we actually met for the first time. I don't remember if it was 2016 or 2017. It was when you did Tri Indy. That was the first time I saw you in person. So whatever that was. And then when COVID happened and things were shutting down, I think we were all just looking for a way to stay connected, and you started a group chat. And so us and a few other people, and that group chat has sort of evolved since March of 2020, but it's still going.
Like, I love that you use the word evolved, by the way. That's very nice.
It has evolved. Mm-hmm. But there has literally not been a day since March 2020 that at least one message has not been sent in that group chat. And one is like, I'm like way underestimating. It's usually an entire conversation. Some days are wilder than others, but it's definitely a constant in my life.
Yeah, that's true. I really would like to use AI. And I was thinking about this the other day and download all of our conversations in there the past 4 years and like make some kind of like ebook that I can listen to on my way to work, like just a podcast or something. Because I would be laughing my ass off, I'm sure. Some of that stuff. Woo. But yeah, it's we've shared a lot in the group chat, but also once COVID we came out of that COVID haze and people were starting to do things again, we were doing things in person. And I mean, you've been to my house a couple of times, you know, my kids, like you've run with my youngest son, you know, all of these things. And so, I know your husband and your dogs. And so it's just been really cool to be together as we've evolved as runners and people through COVID and all of this other stuff, because some people, you know, probably had virtual relationships and then it just, you know, fizzled out. But
ours translated so well to in person.
And then I arm wrestled you one night and you lost. Do you remember this? You lost the arm wrestling competition, and then you had to be the chapter leader for SRTT. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. Oh, we totally arm wrestled and everything, and you lost. And so now you're the chapter leader.
Where were we? I don't.
We did
Is
not
this
arm
real?
wrestle.
Oh my
No,
gosh.
this isn't real.
I honestly believed you because I have a terrible memory. So I
You
was like,
actually
wow.
yelled at me about that on Saturday during our group run. You were like, I have a terrible memory.
I do. I'm sorry. Sorry I yelled, but yes, I have a really
It's
bad
okay. I mean, you should have yelled at me. I knew that already.
memory.
So anyway, we digress. But yeah, so it's just been this normal, like, I feel like we've known each other for way longer than we have. And we have a lot, like, the same sense of humor. We do not have the same, like, taste in music and stuff, though. Like, so we're different, but we're similar. I don't know how to explain it. I don't
That's
know.
true.
Could
Yep.
be the age difference. I'm
Yeah.
way, way older than you, so.
Oh, okay. Way. You're not way, way older. You're
I feel
older.
like it. You're just so
I'm
young. You're just so youthful.
a baby.
You are a baby, baby.
I'm 41, y'all. I'm not a baby.
Well, I'll be 48 in 2 months, so, or 3 months, so there you go. So anyway, all that to say, Sherry has seen me train for a lot of races. She shared a lot of miles, training miles with me, right? You have been steadfast in the training world. And then also, I was running a race last year and I called you because I was out there for a long time. And I called you and Allison. You were both like my phone a friend lines that I called when I was either, and I did this for the year before that at the 100K. I called you, but last year I was running and just was lonely and called, and you answered, of course. And you, I don't know, you were out or you all were doing something, but you know, I mean, you were doing a Saturday night thing. You had been had maybe had a couple of drinks, and you're like, I want to run this race next year.
I
Will you do
somehow
it with
did
me?
not remember. Maybe it was the couple drinks I can blame.
Yeah, I would blame it on that. But and I was like, okay. And so this is where the story starts, because like during COVID, you were training for a 50K, right? Tell us how all that like went down, because you were right
So
there.
I was. So it was late 2019. My husband and I decided to run a 50K. So he's run two marathons, and I, at that point, I don't remember, I'd run maybe three. And there's a 50K. So he's from a small town in Michigan, and there was a 50K on their Rails to Trail path that connects Kalamazoo, Michigan to South Haven, Michigan, which is where he is from. And so we decided we were going to do it. And so I set about training for it. Like I'm a very motivated person. Once I decide to do something, I set out and I do it. And I found a training plan. The one I was using at the time, it was like every few weekends you had long runs back to back. And so I did all my training. Meanwhile, he had not trained specifically for 50K at all. He's mostly a triathlete, so he had been training for triathlons. So, he had his fitness level was up, but I don't think he had been on many very long runs, like not even double digit runs. Anyway, so I had finished my last long run, which I think was 18 miles on a Saturday and 16 miles on a Sunday. And shortly after that was when everything with COVID started happening, and the race was like 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out, maybe. And obviously, it was canceled. And I was disappointed in a sense of like, I put in all this work and I wasn't going to see it come to fruition. But at the same time, I think part of me was a little relieved because I'm a very anxious person and I didn't know much about. Were there going to be porta potties along the way? I knew that there were a few because it was a point-to-point run, so I knew that there were a few gear drop spots, so we could have nutrition or whatever. But yeah, I was anxious, and so part of me I think was a little bit relieved that that specific race was canceled. But I did always kind of feel like I had a little bit of unfinished business.
Yeah, I think you did, because you had mentioned it a couple times. But I remember we had talked about it and said, hey, it wasn't about this race specifically, the Pistol 50K, but another ultra. And you were like, well, you know, Mike and I train for that one together, and you know, if I do my first one, it's probably going to be with Mike, and so I didn't ask again because you know I figured you're pretty much sold on that. So fast forward to the pistol 100 miler, I call you, you're like, I want to do this race next year, and I remember the conversation, but then we didn't talk about it again for a little bit after I got home because that was in March, and then I don't remember. It was like in the summer or late summer, early fall. You're like, hey, I'm signing up for this race. It's the
Hey girl.
registration is going to open. You know, are you going to do it? And I hadn't forgotten about it, but like I wasn't really sure your commitment level. And I was like, are you sure you wanted? Is Mike doing it? And you're like, no. And so I was a little surprised, pleasantly surprised that you
Well, and
wanted to do it.
I want to back up a little bit because I don't remember what training run it was on for you. I don't remember if it was because for some reason I keep thinking, and this goes back to maybe 2021. I can't remember. It all blurs together. Bad memory. But I feel like you might have been doing the virtual Missoula Marathon, which I came out and ran half of it with you. But I was asking you about the pistol, and you were telling me about the course and you know how it's a loop of 10-ish miles, and there's bathrooms every couple miles and aid stations, and you were just telling me all about it, and it sounded way more my speed. Again, that anxiety that I have about certain aspects of a race, I was like, okay, that sounds nice. I could be down with that. So that was when I first learned more about the pistol. Because at that point, you had at a minimum done the 50K, 50 miler. You might have done the 100K. I don't remember. But yeah, like again, I don't remember the conversation we had when you were out there running your 100 miles. But I kind of knew in my head that 2024 was going to be the year that I wanted to try for the 50K.
I was down for it. I was excited and I was a little nervous because I'm like, well, I've run all the distances and you never said like pace me. And that was another conversation like we really didn't have, but I'm like, I'll just go and be your pacer. Now, to be honest, I didn't really think you needed a pacer, but also I didn't need to like sign up and run it again. And honestly, I could have run the last 10 with you. I could have run the first 10 with you. Like we hadn't really talked about it. So I was like, she's going to end up wanting to do this by herself because
How
just
wrong
to,
you
for, I know. And now I'm looking back and I'm like, I was so wrong. I just totally called that wrong. 'Cause I was like, well, she said she only wants to do it one time. This is like her one and done. And so maybe she really wants to train hard and get out there and do it on her own. And I'm all for that. I'll just sit under the tent and like, if you need me to spray anti-chafing on your whatever, that's what I'll do. So I really didn't know how it was all going to fold out, but I definitely did not anticipate what happened once you signed up. So we trained for Urban Bourbon. We got through, like all of us were training for Urban Bourbon, which in our running group, and you messaged me and you're like, hey, here's my 50K plan. This is what I'm looking at doing. And I'm like, great, I'm gonna hit all these long runs with you. I can't run with you during the week, you know, but let's hit the long runs. And so I put it on my calendar. And then all of a sudden I turn around and there's like these women who I do not know very well that have decided they want to at least do the long training runs. Like no one's like, oh, I'm signing up for this race or whatever. But all of a sudden it was like you were playing bagpipes and these people were just coming out to follow you.
The song of my people.
This you did. And it again, so there's a theme here. We were at a bar.
That was with one of them. One of them, there was no
This is
drinking.
when the dominoes started to fall. Okay. So far it was just you signed up. And then we go to a bar, we're at an event, and people start asking you what race this 50K they've heard you're gonna do, blah, blah, blah. And I look around and there's someone on their phone and they're literally registering while we're sitting there. This person has no clue what this race is. She has, I don't even think she looked at the website. She was like, sure, he's doing it. Ding, 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 ding. And that's like the domino effect just started from there. So if you can explain to people, because I think this is rare in the running community to go this distance and train with a large group of people and then run a race alongside these people. So this is what I think makes your experience so different from other people and also so just amazing and powerful is like what happened, with all of these women. So talk us through for people that don't know the situation, what happened when you started training and how did all that transform to race day? Because it wasn't just you training.
No, and I'm tearing up. Like I'm legitimately getting tears in my eyes thinking about just how awesome these women are. Sorry, you guys, getting a little choked up here. But yeah, so when I started training, by that point there were three of us, I think, that had signed up. I know there was me. There was our friend Tracy, who she had run a marathon before, and I think she'd always had this goal of wanting to run a 50K. So for her to hear that someone else was doing it, she was like, yeah, I want to do it too. And then Audine is our friend from the bar, who decided to sign up too. And then, our friend Chloe registered for it. And then we found out there was another woman in our running group, Beth, who was going to run it as well. And so just like I do with any other race I'm training for, I'll just create events for long runs in She Runs This Town and open it up to anybody who wants to join. And, I kind of let them know this is my pace. I run intervals. Here's the route. We don't necessarily have to stay together, but it's always nice to meet up before we get started, take a photo, wish each other good luck and head out. And it evolved is I'm using that word again. It evolved. It kind of snowballed, and we had so many women join us. And maybe they didn't join us for the entire long run because they weren't training for a 50K, but they would come out and run a few miles with us, or maybe meet us halfway and finish it out with us. So there was a solid core of us that on any given Saturday, I would just off the top of my head, there were maybe eight of us who would be out there running. And you go through so much with these women because those miles are long and the training is really hard sometimes. And you form this bond with these people. And I think that's the part that maybe if you're a solo runner or just something that people don't normally talk about, is just that bond that you form over the miles. And that to me was my absolute favorite part of everything. Is the bond that we created.
Yeah, and I love that. I think for the people that weren't about to sign up for 50K because of whatever reason they didn't care to, or they didn't have time to train, or whatever reason they didn't, but they were still showing up to do some of the long runs. I mean, I think that really speaks to the community that we have, the running community that we have, and people wanting to see other people succeed and like, hey, this is your goal, but what do you need me to do? I'm going to jump in and whatever it is. So if it's just to distract you from your 18-mile long run, okay, whatever. I'm going to be there for some of that. I love that part of watching the training. And there were some Saturdays where I couldn't meet up to do the long runs with you, and it was so nice to know that there were probably at least four other people that could meet you out there. Or if we were all in a group run and someone was having a particularly bad day, one of us could fall back and be with that person, and everybody else could carry on, with what they were doing, which I've trained for a lot of long distances, and I run a majority of the miles by myself, with the exception of probably the last two races, you, Melissa, and Chris running a lot of those with me. But it makes a huge difference. It makes the time go by faster, and there's that part of where, I don't know, misery loves company. So you do understand you're not the only one struggling. We would have one person having a really bad day on a Saturday, and then we would have another person having their best training run they've ever had on the same day. The dichotomy of that for me was just mind blowing, and then trying to figure out how to help everybody was also mind blowing, but it was awesome to watch all of that.
When you say,
And
oh, sorry.
No, go
When
ahead.
you say Misery Loves Company, like there are two specific training ranks that came to mind for me. And one was the first one was the 18 miles that you and me and Lindsay ran. And Lindsay was not even signed up for pistol. She's actually training for her first half marathon, or sorry, full
First full.
marathon.
Yeah.
First full marathon. But this woman showed up and ran all these long runs with us. Just for fun. But we met up for a run, the three of us. There was snow on the ground. There was some ice, and it was, I think the wind chill, I think was like negative 11. So it was pretty miserable. I've never run in that many layers. But misery does love company. So the three of us, we met up, and it was awful, but we stayed in good spirits and we finished it. And then the second run that comes to mind was the last long training run, which was 26 miles. And Tracy and I ran the whole thing together, and we had a few ladies start with us. And then Stephanie, you and Melissa joined us for the last half, the last 13 miles. And I don't know what it was about that run, but I broke down like mentally. I was just not there mentally. You and Melissa joined us. You had fresh legs, you had that fresh leg energy. You were real excited.
We were
And
real annoying.
I was cussing you guys out. Like, I shut down. I didn't talk to you guys. Every so often I'd mutter to Tracy, like, F them, or is this over yet? I was in a really negative space. But I could not have finished it without you guys. Like, you were my saving graces.
I mean, you probably would have finished it because you had to get back to the car, but it wouldn't have been as fast or as fun without Melissa and I.
I don't know. I might have called somebody to come get me.
You see Mike coming out on his bike to pick you
That's
up.
right.
This is when you all having an ATV or something might come in handy. Now, you could have, I mean, obviously you could have done it. It's just miserable sometimes, and you want to be done before it's time to be done. So, and we've all been there, and I think that's the great part about having other people around you when you do that is they can understand and still know that you're fine, you're not injured, like you're going to be okay and continue to push you through it because you're going to feel so much better once you're finished. And you had some, I mean, you had some unexpected issues crop up during your training, which I'll be honest, I've never had happen until I trained for my 100 miler and was so, I had an injury that was really, it was silly. It was related to stopping my strength training when I should have continued it. And so I had to have physical therapy, and it turns out my physical therapy was amazing, and I was very grateful for that. And then you turned around and had in your 50K training an injury similar to mine, which was really weird. I was like, we're having like a twin moment, but tell us about that and just how you felt about it, when you knew that maybe you had to change course a little bit because you had to back down on a couple of your long runs and you're very regimented, check the box training plan kind of person. And so tell us about your mental fortitude and all of that because you did have to make those adjustments.
Yeah, so I've been having some calf issues, and I went to see one specialist who I've been to before in the past when things cropped up. And this person suggested maybe I needed different shoes because my shoes I typically run with are a three drop, and they suggested maybe a 6 to 8. So I got new shoes, and the pain was still there. And I could finish a run, but like later that day and the next day, I was limping terribly. It was my left calf. And one of the women who had signed up to run pistol, she eventually was not able to run it herself, but she's a PT. And so I've never seen a PT for anything before, but I made an appointment with her, and she was amazing. But yeah, I did have to back down because one of the first things that she told me is that we needed to find the threshold of what I could do without feeling that pain. And so there were probably 3 or 4 Saturdays in a row, my long runs were cut way short. So I would go out and do maybe half of what I was supposed to do. And then she would have me get on the elliptical for, 30, 45 minutes, just to kind of keep that fitness up. And that was really hard for me because, like you said, you know, I'm a check the boxes kind of person, and I have this training plan and it says I need to do this many miles, but I can't do this many miles because the PTs tell me I shouldn't. So that was hard for me. But I just kept telling myself, and she would tell me this, like, just trust the process, because she knew what my goals were. Initially I'd had a time in mind for the pistol, but when this all happened, I threw it out the window and I was like, I just want to be able to do this. And she said, you know, just if you do your homework and, you know, you come to these appointments, I will get you there. And she was right. And, you know, PT was tough. But I pretty much started to see it helping right away, because we would gradually start building my long runs back up and I wasn't having any pain. So I don't think I ever really doubted that I would be able to do it, but I was a little skeptical. You know, I was just like, oh, you know, I hope this is, you know, I'm putting in this work, I'm hoping this is going to get me there, but she's telling me to trust the process, so I'm going to trust it. But yeah, I mean, there were a few times when I was kind of down, like, especially when you guys would keep on running and I would be like, sorry, I'm out. I gotta go to the gym and get on the elliptical now.
Yeah, and after you would leave us, we would totally talk about you, and we
Michael.
and we would, but what our talk was usually about was she hates this right now, but also she's such, like, I remember telling Melissa, she's such a good, she, well, first of all, she's a one. So, like, she's,
Enneagram one.
yes.
For those who don't know.
Yes, she's an Enneagram one, which means whatever her physical therapist tells her to do, she's going to do it like perfectly and be like the best patient in the whole entire world. So I'm not worried about her rehabbing, you know. So you really took a weight off my shoulders, you know. But yeah, so we knew that you hated it so much, but also knew that it was going to be okay because
Yeah.
you were going to be a good patient, and you were.
And I
So
don't know if I'm, you know, skipping ahead too far, but all of this to say that on race day, my calf, and specifically it was my post tib that was giving me issues, it didn't bother me one bit on race day. So trust the process.
trust the process. So yeah, let's talk about race day, because it wasn't really a race day, it was like a race weekend. And looked a little bit different than probably what a lot of people would do on race weekend. Because we all decided to caravan down on the day before, go to packet pickup together. There was a guest speaker who became our bestie that night, and so we did the guest speaker thing, and then we had to get dinner and all of that. But it, like, all of that led up to the race on Saturday, and then also we did Saturday night where we went out to dinner and all of that. So I was just focused on getting you there and getting, like, packet pickup, and that was it. Like, I didn't really care about what else we were doing that weekend, because I was like, I really want Sherry to love this race as much as I do. I don't know why, but I did not want you to be disappointed, because it was going to be my fault. So I was nervous about that.
You were nervous that I would be upset with you, or like, I don't know. I know how it is when you love something so much and you hype it up and you just want other people to love it as much as you do.
Yeah. And I have gone with other people to this race, and I had a acquaintance that did not love this race, and I was upset. I was upset because I wanted her to have a good race, and she didn't, but everybody else has. So not to spoil it, but tell me, like, what your expectations were, and then just tell everybody listening how race day unfolded. Like, because, and I'm gonna spoil it a little bit by saying you totally just went outside of what I would say then is the norm for you. Like, you were very open to eating different foods leading up to race day, and then seemed very relaxed. Like, I was like, where do you want to eat dinner on Saturday after? And you were like, I don't care, you plan whatever, what time. So I was a little taken aback, but I was glad you did all those things, because I think that's what made the weekend, like, so good for you. So you could have been totally masking and been totally anxious the whole time, but I couldn't tell. So
Well, and that's a really good point, because I am a highly anxious person. I'm someone who, undiagnosed, but pretty sure I have OCD. I'm a very routine driven person.
yes.
And
which I love about you.
One thing that you kind of alluded to is that I typically will eat the same thing before a race. Like the night before, I'll have the same dinner. Morning of, I'll have the same breakfast, because I know they typically work for me. But, I kind of threw caution to the wind. I mean, on the drive down, our caravan stopped and ate at a Wendy's, and I had a spicy chicken sandwich and French fries and a Diet Cherry Coke, which is very far from what I
Listen.
would. That, like, that's not something I would normally eat on a
Listen, we all
regular.
threw caution to the wind when we pulled into a Wendy's drive-thru in London. I'm sorry, but we were all taking risks that day.
I would never eat that on a regular day, much less for lunch the day before a race. But I thought, what the heck? Now, for dinner, my typical MO whenever I'm out of town for a race, I'll find a Whole Foods and get food from the hot bar. And so I did that. But like, I don't want to spend this whole time talking about food, but like, but
It's
that's
important.
something, yeah, it's something that can cause anxiety for me. But and I remember that morning, I hadn't bought anything from Whole Foods for breakfast, but I knew that our hotel had hot breakfast. And so we were down there, and I asked you, because your husband is a registered dietitian. And so I was like, what would Chris, WWCD, what would Chris do? What would Chris tell me to eat? And so you guided my food choices that morning. And now to like kind of go back to the whole anxiety thing. And this is something that I told you and Melissa on the drive home, that as much as I love my husband, and I do, y'all, I love him so much. He supported me so much for this race. Normally, when I am going to do a race, especially if it's out of town, he's the one who's with me, and I'm a bundle of nerves, like super stressed out, thinking about all the what ifs, and I'm not a fun time. But because this was a girls' weekend, and it was like, I don't think y'all understand, like, I've lost track of how many of us actually ran it. But there were like, I don't know, I'm gonna say five or six, something like that. But then there were five women from our running group who went just to cheer us on and support us and crew us. So we were a big group, and it helped me so much. Like, as I started thinking about things on the drive home, to have everyone there, because like, I have to brag, our friends are really funny,
They're
so
a hoot.
they're a hoot, and I laughed nonstop. And so having them there as a distraction helped make me so much less anxious. Like, I think I even told you this. Like, I don't know if it was, the night before or the morning of the race. Like, I was fine. I felt great. I wasn't stressing out about anything. I was feeling really good. And I totally give that credit to everyone who was there, helping me keep my mind off of this big thing I was about to do. So like, on, the night before the race, the morning of the race, like, I was feeling good.
No, I could tell. I mean, you're either a really good liar or, I mean, but you seem really relaxed. And I was a little worried when you called Mike on Friday night after we were, because we had dinner at
Oh,
the hotel.
William.
And no, and you didn't say anything. I was just a little bit nervous because we had a good time. But then at the end of dinner, we gave you a couple of like cards and like well-wish things, and it made you a little bit emotional. And then you're like, let's, we were like, let's go back upstairs. And you're like, I'm gonna call Mike. And I was like, oh, this is it. This, she's gonna hear Mike's voice because I know how I am with Chris. Like, and she's gonna totally lose it. All of her nerves are like, but you didn't. It was just like a normal conversation you had with Mike. And so I was like, whoo, okay, made it through that.
He didn't
And
ruin
no, nothing bad happened, and you kept it together. So I don't even know if you even had thought about that, but
it.
you did great. And then the next morning, we all get up and go over there, and we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to set up a tent. We don't have to, because there's so many people there. All you had to do was make sure you had your bib on. And
Yep.
you had your hydration, and then that was it, because everything else pretty much was taken care of for the day, like, which I loved. And so Tell us about the race course and just your race experience. I think that's a funny part of the story, only because I knew about the race course and I knew what to expect. You didn't, neither did the other ladies running with us. And then we met people on the course and like had all these funny stories. So looking back now, I'm like, a lot happened in 31 miles, like
32 nearly. Yeah.
nearly 32. So tell us a little bit about just how you felt about the race itself and what you liked about it, or.
Well, I mean, the people made it. So there were six of us total who ran it, who were doing the 50K. Because there were a couple other women from our running group who were doing, one was doing the 100K, one was doing the 50 miler. So she wouldn't start until later. But you and me and Tracy and Audine, we ran it together. And again, our friends are a hoot. So we were laughing and having a great time. Oh, did I mention that it rained the entire time? So that alone would be enough to wreck someone's spirit. But again, like I've said this before when we were on your podcast last time talking about advice for new runners, this is why we run in all kinds of weather, because anything could happen in race day and you want to be prepared. And so it sure did. It rained the whole time. Sometimes it was a downpour and sometimes it was a sprinkle, but it rained the whole time. The course itself was really pretty. There's kind of the foresty area where everything's so green and lush and gorgeous. There's a creek. Some of it went through like parts of town, so maybe a little less aesthetically pleasing, but it was fine. The hills were a little bit more than I expected. I feel like he sold it to us as a relatively flat course. And so I think you were just trying to hide the truth. But some of those hills, they were steep. Like they were pretty steep. None of them were very long that I recall, but some of
Thank
them were
you.
steep.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm going to boast a little bit, but I think that we were famous out there because we were four women and then we picked up a random runner who joined us. So we were eventually, there were a group of five of us running together. We were laughing. We were all wearing bright colors. We were in pretty good spirits. And because it's mostly an out and back, it's kind of a lollipop course. So you would see the same people over and over and over. And you would hear the guy saying, "Oh, here they come again," and like people knew who we were, and you kind of develop these little like jokes with people. Like there are two women who their shirts, you've seen them before, it said "run." I thought you said "rum," so we called them the rum girls. So like you see these people and you just kind of laugh and joke with each other. The aid stations were amazing. There was one in particular that had like so many different kinds of food. It was at that aid station that I learned about pickle juice, because I'd only ever taken it before as part of a pickleback shot. So we stop at that aid station and take pickle shots. There was no whiskey involved. But yeah, like it was great. Like one thing that I'm really proud of is that I stayed in a really high spirits the whole time. Like especially after that long 26-mile run where I just checked out, I was afraid that was going to happen again. And I was in a good mood the whole time. Now, that third loop or last loop, my body started protesting a little bit. And my knees, like especially like going down hills, my left knee was bothering me. I think my neck and shoulders were tense. I had some pain in my lower back. And I was getting a blister on one of my toes. So my body was like, "Why are we still out here? Stop it." But mentally, I stayed in really good spirits the whole time. And that's something I was really happy about.
Yeah, you did. It was great, actually. I would send like a little text message to our group a couple of miles before we would get to them, and I think every time I was like, everyone's in good spirits.
I have to talk about our group, by the way,
Yeah, please do.
that that's part of it too, is that I had mentioned that five women from our group came to support us. But it wasn't just the five of them. There was one of the women, her husband was there, another woman, her husband, and two daughters, and then a friend of his was there as well. And they were incredible because we came through, I guess, twice we saw them. And whenever we would run up there, anything we needed, because you had texted ahead to kind of prepare them, like, hey, Sherry's going to need some more nutrition. And, you know, Tracy wants to change her shoes and Sherry's boobs are chafing. You know, anything that we needed, they were ready to go. And it was truly like a NASCAR pit crew. We would run up in there, they would take care of whatever we needed, and then we would head back out. And like, not only that, when they would see us coming, because we actually passed them, because the turnaround was right beyond where they were. So we would run past them, do the turnaround, and then come back. And as soon as they saw us, like, you could hear them yelling from so far away. Like, they were cheering so loud. Beth's daughter Addie had a bubble machine. She had bubbles going. Like, and again, it was pouring rain the whole time, and their enthusiasm was so contagious. Like, they truly the best. They were amazing.
Yeah, I feel like the pistol could have paid them to stay for 24 hours and help like the 50 milers and the 100 milers, because I'm sure when we packed up and left, a lot of that energy, was gone that everybody was used to earlier in the day. It was really awesome. I have to say, all the times I've raced there, I haven't seen that much from
Oh,
one tent
yeah.
before. So shout out to all of those women and the husbands, because that was pretty awesome. We were, you're right. People were looking for us, and they were grateful for the cheering at our
Yeah.
tent when they went by. So I haven't seen that before there. I don't know that they knew what to do with us, but we did get a lot of pictures.
We
So
did.
that was good. I think it was all of our bright colors and enthusiasm.
Oh,
But so you cross the finish line. So I have to say, there was one t only one time when you got kind of cross with me, and you weren't really cross with me. You were just like, you're bullshitting me. We were running, and I was like, you were like, can we do an extended walk? 'Cause I'm gonna eat. It was on a walk interval. And everybody else was joking, let's walk longer. You know, just kind of, they were only half joking though, 'cause this was like the last 4 or 5 miles of the race. You're getting a little tired. And I was like, would you all please stop fucking walking? And you were like, why are you, what? You looked at me like, why are you saying this? And I was like, because I've been watching all of these people passing us, and I am pretty sure that you all are going to place in your age group. Like, you need to chop chop, because we've got these two people behind us that are look like your age, and we don't need them to pass us.
I thought you were
Well,
insane.
you looked at me like I was wackadoodle, but then also you picked up the pace, because if you look at some of our last splits,
Lion, hang on. I'm pulling up Garmin right now.
yeah, do it.
I do not
I remember
remember.
looking down at my watch. Now, the walk intervals could have been slower, but I was looking down at my watch, and our run splits were faster than they had been the 5 miles before that. Now, granted, the 5 miles before that, we had a bathroom break and we had hills, but still, that last flat of like 4 miles, you were intense. Now, I can't say that about everybody else. Tracy got very quiet. And of course, Audine was a little bit further behind us, but like, you got really, I don't know if it's because you heard what I said or if you were just like, I want to be done, because it could be a combination of those things.
Definitely, I wanted to be done because I still thought you were crazy. I was like, this bitch doesn't know what she's talking about.
I know. And then we crossed the finish line. You cross, Tracy's right behind you, and then I'm right behind you guys. We go into the It was a little bit different this year, because when you went into the tent, normally they're right there. They write your name down, and then they're like, if you had an award, they would tell you right then and push you into the photo area. And they didn't do that this year. So you saw the food, and
No,
then
I
you
saw the
saw
pizza.
the PT lady, and you were like, I eat food, PT, food, PT. And you
It
were like, I'm
was
going to the PT
insane.
lady.
Like, I hugged our friends who were there at the finish line. I hugged you, I hugged Tracy, and then I was like, I'm going straight to the PT table because
Yeah.
my back especially was bothering me. So I just went and laid down and let her do her work.
You did a beeline. And so we're all standing there and you're getting worked on. And I looked at Mac and wham. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she got first in her age group. If not, she placed. And they're like, what are you talking about? And so I was like, come over here. So there's a little tablet set up. And I was like, you just type her bib number in there. So we type her bib number, type your bib number in. And sure enough, it pulls up first, you know, first place age group or whatever. Wham goes wild. I mean, she's just like, no way. And everybody's like, we're trying not to scream and be excited because you're over, like, you don't know yet. So Wham's like, we can't let her know. We can't, you know, and I'm like, don't tell her, don't tell her. So finally, you know, you got done with PT and then we bring you over to show you. And I don't think it registered with you for
Just
a minute.
hang on, because I was really mad at her because I
Does she know
finished.
you're mad at her?
Oh, yeah, I told her. I told her after the fact. I was mad at her because I had not yet texted my husband, Mike. Like, he knew I was done because I had my live track on Garmin. He had
Sure.
been watching, but I hadn't actually like texted with him. And, you know, I couldn't really text him while the PT was working on me. And so all I wanted to do when she finished was text Mike. And Wham grabs my phone out of my hand. She's like, you can talk to him later. You, Stephanie needs to see you right now. And I was so mad at her. I'm like, bitch, I haven't been out here running for so long. And all I want to do is text my husband. Stephanie can wait. But
That's
she
right.
grabbed my phone out of my hand, grabbed me with her other hand, and drug me over there to the computer.
We were cracking up because I'm pretty sure other people knew too. Like, there were a couple other people there that were there at the race that knew too. And so she was trying to avoid, have you avoid all those people so you could look it up yourself and see.
Oh,
We had the
man.
best, we had the best time. It was awesome. And then once you realize what had happened, well, then we were like, well, Tracy was right by you. And of course, Tracy placed in her age group. And it was just, the whole day was really great. I thought you all did amazing. Again, your headspace was like so
Well,
positive.
I was in
And
disbelief that I actually got first because I'm used to, like, you know, for example, the weekend before we had run a local, I don't, 10K, 5K. It was 5K.
5K.
And it's a really big race. And so you can check your results right after the race, but it's going to change, you
A
know,
lot.
because it's going to change a lot. And so I remember I saw that I was first and I think I looked at you and I said, is this real? Is someone going to take this? Like, I did not think it was real. You know, I didn't want to get excited because I was like, someone else is going to take my spot. Like, not a big deal. And you were like, no, you were like, that's when you told me that you've been watching everyone
Yeah.
else out there and knew that we were where we were.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you asked me that like four times.
Yeah.
Four different times.
I didn't believe
Even
you.
after you had your pancakes. I'm pretty sure you're still asking me that.
Yeah,
So
you brought me pancakes. I ate them with my hands, syrup and all.
look, I did that at the Norton Sports Health Training last Saturday. I don't care.
There's a picture of me, like, there's a picture of me sitting with pancakes in my lap, and you can't see my face because I'm wearing a hat and my head's down, but like, I'm
Yeah.
crying and eating pancakes.
Such a good moment. So just doing all that, I mean, I know you said you're not going to do another 50K. You said that after we finished. But for people that are thinking about doing it, just the first one, what would you say are the best parts about it? Because we all know what the not best parts are about it. But what did you get out of it, whether it was through the training or just the finish? Why would you say it was a great experience for you?
The two things that come to mind for me, one of them I've already mentioned, and I'm going to try not to cry again, but it's that bond that you form. And I realize how lucky we were because not everyone is going to sign up for a distance they've never done before and always have people to run with. So I know how lucky we were. But that bond that formed between us women who trained together, it's so special. And so that's one thing I would say. The other thing, like for me, running has always been about pushing myself to accomplish things I never thought I could do. And I've just kind of built that up over the years. First was a 5K, 10K. There was a 10 miler here that used to happen, and then a half marathon, and then, I'm never going to do a marathon. Then I did a marathon and I said I was one and done. And now I've done five marathons. And so there's something that you had said that, and I don't remember exactly how you worded it, again, bad memory, but you said something along the lines of like, we forget that not everybody does this stuff. Not everybody goes out and runs a 50K. And so to now have done that and feel really good about how I did, like it feels really special to know that I set this goal for myself and I went out and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're talking about my experience in a 50K, but I think that translates to anybody in whatever distance they haven't done yet that they're thinking
for sure.
about. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Pushing yourself to do something you never thought you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still kind of in shock that that whole weekend happened and that I actually ran a 50K and that I got first in my age group. Like, what is this life? So, like, those are the two things, the bond that you can form with your training partners,
mm-hmm.
and then also setting a goal, something that seems unreachable, and reaching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I especially like the part about just setting the goal and reaching it, because I do remember there was a time where I was didn't think I would run a 5K.
Yeah.
And it just, every time you hit that goal, no matter how difficult it was or what the setbacks were, but you do hit that goal, it just makes you think a little bit more about how much further can I push myself. I think that's where we get into that trap in the running group where we think everybody's doing this every weekend and they're not, but like, we're all encouraging each other to continue to push forward and try something new. We have women that are just out of their element all the time, trying something they never dreamed about until they were in our group.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I really love that you did some things outside of your comfort zone to get to your goal, because you could have stuck to your guns in a lot of ways. You could have refused to see physical therapists. You could have, just tried to get through it on your own. You could have not taken
not
advice
wonderful
people
lady.
Give you. But you didn't. You were just very flexible in those moments. And I think that's the key to people being successful, is understanding it's not always going to go the way that your expectation may, have it laid out. And that's okay. The end result's going to be the same, though, or maybe even better. Like, you probably didn't think when you crossed the finish line of a 50K how good you would feel. I mean, you felt, to me,
mentally,
I mean,
because
yeah.
Physically, it kind of felt like shit.
Yeah, but you didn't, even when you went to the physical therapy table, I mean,
yeah,
you were still smiling. You were, so I think you met that goal, and then also you met it in a way that, I don't know, I just can't even put it into words, which is not like me, but I'm just really, really proud of you and how you persevered through all of that. It was awesome to watch, because I didn't have to do it.
But
But
you
also,
did,
it's
you
awesome to
ran
see friends. Awesome to see my friends do it. So I'm really, really proud of you. And I'm proud of Tracy and Audie and everybody out there, all of our friends that were out there. They didn't have to put aside their weekend, to do that. And they did. And I think there are some of them are just curious about that whole, the ultra thing too, which is pretty cool. Because not everybody would be curious about that. And then we have a bunch of people with helper's hearts in our circle that, they're just going to show up whether they're interested in not what we're doing. They're going to help. So I love that part.
Everything about the weekend was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, having so many friends there, some running it with me, some supporting me. I didn't have any GI issues. We didn't talk about that. But like,
we didn't talk about poop at all in this episode.
So, but like, there were some training runs that were not pretty at all. At all.
And not just for you, other people. And still everybody had a good day. Like, everything was just a well-oiled machine. I couldn't have wished for better for you guys, unless it didn't rain. I mean, that makes it miserable, but you guys were fine.
Well,
we were fine.
That morning, when we were still at the hotel over breakfast, Tracy told me, she was like, if you have to stop to poop, sorry, y'all, it's a running podcast. We talk about this. He was like, if you have to stop to poop, I will wait for you because my anxiety, like I'm gonna need you there with me. And I was like, I don't want to mess up your race. And she was like, I don't care. I'll stop. And I was fully expecting to have to stop and have GI issues. That's the polite way to say it, GI issues. I was fully expecting that to happen. And somehow I did not have to poop during that race. Now, and I won't name names, but one person did, and we did stop and wait with that person because that's the kind of people we are.
And it
It
was fine. It
was totally
was
fine.
great. We fueled, we hydrated. It
Yeah.
didn't take that long.
I texted my husband, you know.
We had things to do while we waited, and it was, if we didn't wait that long. So yeah, I think it was great for everybody. I do wonder now though that you've done this. Well, tell us, what are you doing next? Do you have sights for other races this year on your calendar, or like any different types of goals, whether it's like a time goal or distance goal or whatever. What are you doing the rest of the year?
So I do have the next race. Well, I actually have a 15K this weekend. Triple Crown 15K is Saturday. But then I'm doing the Kentucky Derby Festival half marathon, which is one of those annual things that I do pretty much
Feel
every
free
year.
to plug your discount code here if you'd like to do that.
Yes, I will do that as soon as I look it up. But that one's special for me because it was my first ever half marathon. And it was my first ever full marathon. So that one is always special. But yes, if you would like to run this race, it is April 27th, and you can use the promo code RUNWITHUS24 for 15% off. And that race is super fun because it goes through Churchill Downs the week before the Kentucky Derby. So yeah, that one I have kind of the big race. I'm going to do my sixth marathon, the Missoula Marathon, which I'm really excited about. My husband and I are big into racecations. I think I talked about that maybe the last time I was on the podcast, but we just like to pick a race in a cool location that we've never been to and do the race and then explore. So I also have a promo code for that one, and it takes place on June 30th, and it's BibRave24, BibRave24 for $5 off registration. And then, of course, in the fall is another half marathon that I do every year, the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon, which is super fun. That one, I love it because it goes through Cherokee Park, which is my home park. It's just pretty. And there's a really fun after party afterwards. I mean, bourbon is in the
Oh,
name of the race,
the
so
best
you
after party ever.
know, right? And promo code BibRave2024 for 10% off registration on that one. And I know you asked about goals. I don't have goals for these.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of at the point in my life where I just want to have a good time, you know? So if I'm lucky enough that some of the women in the running group, you know, we're having the type of day where we're going to stick together, then we'll just laugh the whole way through and have a great time. You know, we did that at the Triple Crown 10K. There were, I don't know, four, five, six of us. And we didn't talk about it. We didn't make a plan to go out there and run it together, but it just kind of happened that way. And we had so much fun. We ran the whole thing together and we laughed and we pushed ourselves and just we had a blast. So, yeah, I don't have any time goals. I'm just out there. I'm up there. What do they say? I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Although maybe I am
Yeah.
here for a long
I will
time.
say sometimes I'm out there for a long time, but I'll
Yeah.
still stay for the good time after.
Yeah.
So,
I'm here for both.
well, I just love that you are such a good example for other runners in the running community in the way that you approach running, because I don't think you put a lot of pressure on yourself and you don't take yourself too seriously. Now, that's not to say that you can't race if you want to race and do all that, but you've done that before. And so you're in the stage where you're just enjoying like the whole experience. And I wish everybody thought about that at some point in their running journey, because we may not get to do this forever, right? And so,
Right.
I mean, I hope we do, but we definitely don't get to do it forever, but as long as we're alive. And so, you should be able to enjoy yourself every now and then and not take yourself too seriously. But I'm just really proud of you, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast to share your story. And I was going to invite everybody that was there during the weekend to come on the podcast, but I knew it would be like a 3-hour episode, and I wasn't sure how to edit that down, so I just stuck with you. But yeah, I think it's valuable for you to share your experience, and I'm glad that you're encouraging other people to, make some goals. You can make goals and not be super serious. Like, just think about what you want to do next and enjoy that process,
Well,
you know.
thank you for inspiring me. I mean, truly, I don't think that if you had talked to me about your experiences with the pistol, I don't know that I would have been that interested in finding another 50K and training for it. But, through getting to know you more and hearing you talk about all of your experiences with the pistol, because for those of you who don't know, Stephanie has run every distance they have there, up through the 100 miler. Just hearing you talk about it, like, you've been such an inspiration, and you were kind of like my guide through the whole thing. Like, because of you, I felt so prepared and I knew what to expect. And that, of course, helped ease my anxiety too. So I would not have accomplished this had it not been for you. So thank you for
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm an Enneagram 8, so
that. We both
I
like
come
to be in charge,
prepared,
we like to be bossy.
all detail oriented. Wasn't going to let you miss a beat. So there's that. But
Yay.
well, thank you, Sherry, for coming on the podcast. And I feel like by the end of the year, you'll be back for some podcast episode. So just be prepared. I may call on you for another topic.
I'm
Be
always down
ready.
for it.
A pop quiz.
You know where
So
to find me.
I
Find me
do.
in the group
That's all right. I will hit you up in the group chat in the morning. So
chat.
thanks, Sherry.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, make sure you hit subscribe so you can catch the next episode when it's live. You can also follow me and all of my adventures on Instagram at Bluegrass Bammer.